A psalm this afternoon, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 3 this afternoon. Won't keep you long this evening, keep you about as long as the Lord wants us to stay, amen. Been in the book of Psalm, been reading the Bible once again, trying to read the Bible all the way through. Started in the book of Matthew, January the 1st, and I'm back around to the book of Psalms right now. I'm not a fast reader, I'm not a speeding reader, but I just read the book, amen. And I get hung up some places, and I don't move on until he releases me from leaving there. And I've dug off in the book of Psalms, and man, the Lord has really been speaking to my heart. And I want to preach tonight on, But thou, O Lord. Can you say that tonight? But thou, O Lord. Man, He's your Lord tonight. He's your Savior. He's your King. He's everything to you tonight. I know I sound like a broken record every time I get up, but it's all about Him. Amen? It's all about Him. He said, if He be lifted up, He draw all men to Him. Psalm chapter number 3, and we're going to read tonight, if you will. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We will read the whole chapter. Amen? I told you this morning, at least it ain't Psalm 119. And the Bible says, Lord, here David's just giving his heart to the Lord, amen. He's fled from the presence of Absalom, and he's just giving the Lord his heart. That's all God wants from you. He just wants your heart, truly who you are. We just sung a song, I'm just a broken man. And that's all he just wants us to be real. He wants us to be honest. He don't want us to paint up and be something that we're not. He don't want us to wear a mask. He don't want us to make everybody think we got it going on. Because when you make everybody think that you've got it going on, they start looking at you and they don't look at God. But when they see your failures and they see your emptiness and they see your brokenness, God can use you in a mighty way. The Bible says in Psalm 3, verse number 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help from him and God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you that we can come out and study a portion of your word tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you bless in a mighty way, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for this local body. I thank you that you've allowed me to be the pastor of this church. I thank you that you have allowed me, Father, to see your hand, your mercy and grace all over these people. Lord, I pray right now that you continue to bless them, continue to watch over them, continue to bless me and my family, Father, that we be found in your will according to what you've called us to do, Father. Lord, I do love you and I thank you. Lord, I ask you once again to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you, and I'll be so careful to give you all the honor, the praise and the glory. I pray when we leave this place, we say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Tonight as we come and we look at this, I want to start with Psalm chapter number 3 and verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, is what he said. And the psalmist said here, the Lord Almighty has everything we need. Child of God, if you'll just look to the Lord and look nowhere else, and God has got everything that you need tonight. He said, but thou, O Lord, and I want to show you what the psalmist said. That the Lord is to He. And this week, I want you to know, as I studied this, I've been writing the dates down on top of my notes here to keep where the Lord had me to be. And this week, I was sitting at home drinking a cup of coffee. It was right at 6 a.m. in the morning. Done been in the book for about an hour studying, looking through it, and just letting God feed my soul. And Brandy sent me a text, and that thing dinged in. And she listens to her favorite preacher every day, and that is David Jeremiah. She listens to him every day on the radio and at work. She listens to David Jeremiah, and I thank God that she has somebody she can listen to. Amen. And she sent me a message, and she said, you need to listen to this. And I thought, okay, I'll listen to this. And you said, when'd you listen to it? 2 days later? Oh, no. And she's seen the urgency to send it to me. And see, a lot of times what we do, somebody will lay God on you on your heart. So if somebody will lay somebody on your heart, you'll send them something, and they'll look at it, glance at it, and skip on and go on and never listen to the content that was actually sent to that individual. And when she sent it to me, it was talking about a church that looked alive and looked well, but on the inside, that church was dead. It looked alive, and it looked well, and everything was going good. And if you was in the community, community, everybody want to be a member of that church. And if you were right where God would have you to be, you'd want to, if you lived anywhere close, you'd want to attend that church, because that church didn't have no problems. That church didn't have nothing going on. That church had a name above all the other churches in the area. And I got listening to it, and I said, Lord God, let that not be us. Let us not be named as a great church. Let us not be named as a good church. Let us be named as a godly church. Amen. A church that fears God. And David Jeremiah was talking about the church in Revelation chapter number 3, the church at Sardis. And he was talking about that body of believers. And what they had was, they had a big wall, and that thing was walled all the way around. Is that correct? It was walled all the way around, and nobody could get in. And there was a king, and there was an emperor, wanted to get into that city and wanted to destroy that city. But nobody could get in. They wouldn't let the enemy in. The enemy could not get in. The enemy could not destroy. God had set protection all around them. And the moral of the story was is that division and chaos and what would be broke down would come from the inside, not the outside. I warn you tonight as your pastor, listen to me, look up here. I warn you tonight as your pastor, this place will not be destroyed from the outside. It will be destroyed from the inside. It will be destroyed from the inside, not the outside, when we get our eyes off God and we quit saying, oh Lord God, you're the head of this place. You lead this place. David Jeremiah said they had men who had walked that city and walked the top of that area. And as they would walk around, they would look and they would make sure the enemy couldn't get in, make sure all the gates were secure. Brother John, the security team wouldn't let just anybody in that would come in and harm the people. But one day there was a man walking around the top, and he was weak and he was feeble, and he wouldn't do what he was supposed to do. And he looked down and his helmet fell off as a soldier. His helmet fell off and went down into a ravine, and said the enemy that was watching and wanting to see how to get in, they seen that man drop his helmet. And it wasn't long, the man went down and come back up and had his helmet on. And they said, there it is. That's where the breach is. That's where the weakness is. That's where the crack is. That's where I can get in. All I got to do is go find where his helmet fell, where he went down and got a hold of it and come back out. And that's how we can get in and destroy the city. You know what old Satan's looking for? He's looking for whoever the weakness is in this building. He's looking for that weak link. He's looking for that one that has fallen victim and has fell weak and done got lazy in reading their Bible, done got lazy in praying, done got lazy in fasting, got lazy in what God has called him to do. You say, preacher, I'm here every time the door's open. That's who I'm warning tonight. That's who I'm talking to. That's the ones that get lazy. This church ain't built on that crowd that comes in every once in a while. This is built on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And you are his body tonight. And you must stay prepared tonight. You must stay in that word tonight. And you must say, but thou, O Lord, let this place not fall. Let it be a sanctuary for you. He said, preacher, how can you do that? Tonight I want to show you what the psalmist said that the Lord was to him. Look at me with me, if you will, in verse number 3. He said, the Lord is our shield. What is a shield tonight? It's what you use to face off the enemy. Get the enemy away from you. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. He said, I cried unto you with my voice, and you heard me out of this holy hill. I say to you tonight, but thou, O Lord, we must not fall victim tonight to the enemy, and we must allow the Lord to be our shield. You say, why could God be my shield? Why do I need God to be my shield? When you let your shield down, the enemy's coming. When you let it down and you get relaxed, the enemy's coming. The shield tonight is your glory tonight. It's what you have. It's that defense. It's that hedge that's all around you. It's that anointing that is on your life. You keep that hedge up. You keep that up. You keep that shield up. Don't get lazy and let it down. Brother Brent, you was in the military. You didn't get lazy and let that shield down. When you had to guard somebody and you was on duty and it was your responsibility, you know what you did? You kept your guard up. You kept your shield up. You stayed where the Lord would have you to be, because it is your glory. And it's what lifts you up. Look what he said. He said, thy shield, it's my glory. I glorify in that shield of the Lord Jesus. And also it's up my lifter up of my head. It's what I can get my head up. When God's my shield, I can raise my head up. I don't have to put my head in the dumps. I don't have to put my head down. I can lift my head up and say, Jesus Christ is my provider. He is my shield. He's my glory. He's my lifter up. And he hears my cry and he wipes my tears. Hey, boy, you know how good it is. Would you want somebody to wipe your tears with sandpaper, Brother Eric? Why, Lord, no. Amen. Now, I want you to know, when I got to blow my nose sometimes, I'll go to the kitchen, and I may grab me a paper towel, one of them old hefty paper towels, and jerk it out, and I may blow. Come on, y'all, wake up tonight. Let me talk to somebody in here. I might go in there and grab that thing and blow my nose a time or two, Brother Les. Might wipe my eyes a time or two, but I want you to know, when I'm crying, I want God to use angel soft. I want Him to use something that's got a little cushion in it. I don't want Him whooping me and wearing me out. I want Him to know that I love Him and He's my shield, and He takes away what I need, took away, and He gives me what I need. Amen. He said He's the one that wipes my tears away. He's the one that wipes my tears away. Hey, Wednesday night, I want you to know, we had three ladies sitting up here up on front, and we anointed all three of them with the anointing of gladness and healing and prosperity in their life, that God would move on them, that God would touch them, and God would give them the desires of their heart. Friends, tonight you say, preacher, why did we do that as a church? We did that they may have a breakthrough and God might move on their life and show them that He is their shield. No matter if your back is hurting tonight, God is your shield. He is your protector. He's going to help you. Sister Melissa, no matter what, I've been praying for y'all three all week. No matter what's going on in your life, He's your shield. He's going to block them fiery darts that's coming your way. And oh, Satan, I'm sure since Wednesday night's amped it up, he ain't took a break, he ain't let down, and he ain't backed up. Hey, but guess what? God ain't neither. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's my shield tonight. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that knows more than I know. And Sister Keela, you tonight, you come and you beg that God would move on you, and I promise you this, God's going to move on your life in a mighty way. Why? Because He's the one that wipes our tears away. He's our shield tonight. He's our shield. When you're taking all them old fiery darts and you keep getting hit, you're getting hit so bad because you ain't got your shield up. Listen, He said He's your shield. And you say, preacher, I've been hit so much I can't take no more. You ain't got your shield up. How do you know? Because I've been getting beat on and I ain't had my shield up. I've been trying to take it on my own and take them hits myself, Brother Austin. You know how we are as men. We got broad shoulders. We think we can handle it. Son, you get hit enough, you'll get down. You'll get in a bunker somewhere. You'll get hit out. You'll go AWOL. Nobody won't know where you're at. You're going to hide out. If God ain't the one shielding you, everything around you will fall. But when you let Him be your shield, son, you can walk out of that cave. You can walk out of that bunker. Hey, I'm behind you. Y'all sound asleep in here tonight. I can get behind Him now. I wore off them fiery darts because He's my shield. I want to ask you tonight, have you been letting God be the shield that you need Him to be? Don't be that weak link around here. Don't be that weak link. Don't be that tonight. You be that one that stands behind that shield of God and say, hey, I'm going to keep marching on. I'm going to keep marching forth. Why? What's the big deal of marching on, Brother BJ? What's the big deal to cry out, oh, Lord, my God? What's the big deal? Because you got kids watching. You got grandkids watching. You got people watching you see what you're going to do. You make sure God's your shield and He's taking care of you. Let me show you something else. Not only the psalmist said the Lord is my shield, but he said He is my sustainer. He is the one that sustains me. Not always satisfies me. Hello? But glory to God. But He always sustains me. Sometimes He feeds me. Brother Ricky Stanford preached the other night. He said there's a lot of the other day at this church when we was having revival. And he said a lot of people says I leave a church. They leave a church because they don't get fed. He said, ain't that you ain't getting fed, you just don't like the grain in which way in which it's coming. That's so true. It ain't that you ain't getting fed, you just don't like what's coming out. Because why? It's getting down to the bone, getting down to the marrow, getting down to where it is. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 5. Not only is the Lord our shield, but the Lord is our sustainer tonight. You know what a sustainer does? He takes over when you don't know what to do. When you're ready to quit and throw in, he's the one that comes up and gives you a little bit more. You ever had a cell phone that's dead? You ever had a cell phone that didn't work? Or it started dying, you got about 4% left on your phone? You go to the power source and plug it in. What does that do? It sustains you. Lets you get further on down the road, further on down what God's called you to do. Look what he said. He said, I laid me down and slept. When was the last time you had a good night's sleep? He said, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. What'd He do? Everything going on around, He said, I'm your shield. Lay down, take your nap. I'm going to sustain you. I'm your shield. He said, preacher, I ain't got time. Take a break. Lay down. He'll give you a break. Preacher, I ain't got time to slow down. Slow down. I tell these young kids all the time, you better slow down. You're going to look in the mirror. You're going to be looking like me one day because you didn't slow down, because you didn't take a break, because you thought it was all about you and you had to go, 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 go. And God said, listen, I'm your shield. I'm the one that'll sustain you. I'm the one that'll take care of you. He said, what does a sustainer do, Brother BJ? He guides you when you're weary. He guides you when you are weary. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. He guides you when you are weary. He provides rest. He keeps us afloat even when the enemy is all around. Even when the enemy is all around, he keeps you right where you need to be. And can I say this? Not only is he your shield, he's your sustainer, and you can lean on him and totally put all your weight on Christ Jesus, the Lord Almighty. You can put all your weight on him. Now, if you're going to lay down and sleep, you're going to have to trust what you're laying on. If you're going to lay down and sleep and rest, truly rest, you're going to have to rely on who's got your back. Tonight, can I say to you, he didn't say your preacher had your back. Tonight, he didn't say your deacons had your back. Tonight, he didn't say the women's ministry had your back. He said, you need a shield? You know who he said is going to shield you? Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty. He said, I'll be your shield, and I'll be your sustainer. Tonight, you can't sustain without Christ Jesus. All the ministries in this church will not sustain you. They'll help you, but they won't sustain you. They won't keep you alive. The only thing will keep you alive is having a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. Having that relationship that you are not plugged into a church, but you're plugged into the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. That you're plugged in. He's all over you and using what you've called, he's using you to your potential. I see the psalmist said, but thou, O Lord, I don't want to be the weak link. I don't want to be the one that the enemy gets through with. You are my shield. The Lord is my sustainer. And lastly tonight, I want to say, he says, the Lord is our salvation. He said, not only are you the one that shields me, not only are you the one that sustains me, but you are my salvation. You're the one that I look to. Look what he says here, if you will, in verse 7 and 8. He says, arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord. Did anybody catch that? He said, Lord, I've done all I can do. I'm at my wit's end. I'm going to give you some Detroit slang that's going to help you so much in your life. When you're in a hole, quit digging. If you're in a hole, David, if you're in a hole, just quit digging. Say, preacher, I'm in over my head. Quit digging. All you're doing is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. People tell you, don't give up. Dig in. Get deeper. There's sometimes you just need to quit digging and say, God, you're going to have to be my shield. You're going to have to be the one to sustain me because you're the one that saved me. Look what he said. Arise. He said, Lord, please get up. Lord, please get up off your throne. Lord, please get up. Arise, Lord. There is 10,000 in verse number 6. He said, there's 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. He said, the enemy's all around. Lord, I need you. He said, please get up and save me, oh my God. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. He said, this is what you can do, Lord. I've seen you use a cheekbone. I've seen you do this. I've seen you do it time and time again. I've seen you in the enemy. I've seen you when death's at the door. I've seen you when sickness is at the door. I need you to get up off your throne and help me. Boy, that's a cry, ain't it? He said, Lord, help me. You're my shield. You're my sustainer. You're my salvation. He said, Lord, you are my personal Savior. Save me. He didn't say, save my family, my church, my wife. He didn't say nothing. He said, save me. Please save me. Don't you ever expect somebody else to pray for you. You pray for yourself. You take yourself before Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ and you lift yourself up as a sacrifice to God. Don't you rely on somebody else to pray for you because they may forget and you'll find yourself in a hole. Quit digging and start praying, asking God to help. Say, God, help me. Help me. He said, that's selfish, preacher. It ain't selfish when you need it. Talk to me, somebody. It ain't selfish when you're in the hole and you need it and you need God to help you. He said this. He said he's a personal Savior. He said, oh, arise, God, and help me. Oh, my God. I see he's a personal Savior. I see he's a powerful Savior. Look what he said. He said, you have smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. He said, you've smitten them all. What does that mean? He's defeated them all. Oh, glory. I see not only a personal Savior but and a powerful Savior, but I see he's a purchasing Savior. He purchased you. He wants to take care of you. Look what he said. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Verse number 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Why is the blessing upon this church? Why are we blessed here? Why do you go places and you hear people, why are we blessed here? Why? Number one, the Lord's our shield. He's the one's lifted up here. He's our shield. Number two, he's the one that sustains us. You can listen to the number Sister Christie gave. And if God don't show up, we all embarrassed. If God, y'all ain't listening to the numbers. Your house ain't going to work that way. Your house ain't going to work that way. You're not going to spend more than you take in and be ahead. Y'all didn't listen to the numbers. You're not going to be able to do what we do in here unless God's in it. It ain't because we got money in the church. It ain't because people are loaded. It ain't because people are pouring in their life savings in here and giving everything they got. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. It's because God's pouring down from heaven. It's because God's opened the windows of heaven and poured it out on this place. You can take 10 millionaires and put them in here, and if God ain't in it, no matter how much money they pump in here, it will not work. It ain't about your money. It ain't about what you got. It's about who you got. His name's Jesus. He's the one that shields us. He's the one that takes care of us, Brother Les. He's the one that took care of all this that's going on here. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody here. It's all about him. He's the one pouring out. It's him. You know what, though? He can reach down and cut that thing off. I'm telling you, I'm scared to death. I don't want him to cut it off. He can do it. You say, but he won't do it. He will do it. You quit preaching Jesus. You quit singing about Jesus. You stop worshiping him. You let just anything walk in that door. You let anything destroy from the inside. You let anything walk down this aisle and say they love the Lord and put them in a place they don't need to be. It'll destroy this place. You said, oh, preacher, we got it made. Oh, we ain't got nothing made. There ain't nobody in this room made it yet. Why? Why is it working here? Because he's our shield. He's our shield. He's the one that sustained. He's the one that's poured out from heaven. He's the one that has sustained this place for all these years, Sister Patsy. He's the one that ain't closed the door. It ain't no old member that's the reason the door's still open. It may be because God laid it on their heart to keep it open, but it ain't because no old member. Old members quit and get out too. It ain't because of the faithful saints. They quit and get out too. I've seen it. I've been here 12 years, and I've seen some people I thought would never quit on God sitting at home on Sunday night and Wednesday, telling it ain't worth it no more. Never forget what Adrian Rogers said. Adrian Rogers is going to sign it, give his resignation. He is going to quit, throw in the towel. He is done pastoring. Said he wrote that resignation, and Joyce walked in there and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm done. I ain't pastoring no more. She said, what are you doing? Said, I'm done. We're through with Bellevue. I'm gone. I'm out. She said, okay. She said, I'll go with you. But you make sure when you write that resignation, every one of them kids that you've led to Jesus, you write them one too. And three ladies got saved this week and you get ready to resign, go ahead and write them one too. Find their number, write them one down. Say, hey, it ain't worth it. Just say it ain't. When you get ready to give up the Baptist men because you ain't getting it your way, write everybody a resignation and tell them why you quit. Because you just think God ain't worth it. You see, it ain't where we're at as a church. It's worth it, amen? I got a little boy laying over there asleep. It's worth it. You got kids that's asleep and it's worth it. Brother David Barnes, you've got grandkids. It's worth it. You're not done. Just because Garrett's raised up, just because Dylan's raised up, just because Brittany's raised up, you're not done. You've got a generation coming behind. We all got a generation. They need to see it's worth it. They need to have a family in a church where a preacher will preach the word. People will get up and sing. We'll have a hallelujah time, and we'll just shout heaven down. When we feel it or if we don't, we just say, thank you, Jesus. Just keep pouring it out. Why, preacher? Because he's my shield. Because he's my sustainer, and he's my salvation. There's days I want to quit, and you do too. But I got to remember who started me in this race. I got to remember who called me in and said, hey, I want you to be a soldier. And I said, I'll do it. I said, I'll do it. I counted the cost, Brother Eric, and I said, I'll do it. I'll take on. I'll come on. I'll be saved. I want to be saved. Save me, Lord. Got saved, born again. And you know what around here, Brother Harold? You're an older man in the church. You probably got 50 good years left in you. After that, we'll see what we'll do. Amen. But Harold Cantrell, you're only as good as your word. Is that not true, Brother Harold? You're only good as your word. If you throw down now and say it ain't worth following Jesus, why'd you follow him to start with? What good is it now? He said, preacher, you don't know how hard it is. It's hard on everybody in this room. Preacher, you don't know how tough, it's tough for everybody in this room. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what these other folks are going through. And I want to show you in closing why you need to keep on and say, oh, Lord God, don't cut it off now. Don't cut it. Y'all, this is going to be a safe haven one day. I may not see it. Tony Woodham, you may not see it. It's going to be a safe haven. It's going to be a place. If you'll just keep standing, raise that hand up. She's agreeing. If you'll just keep standing, you'll keep standing. Keep standing. Don't quit. Don't quit. It's going to be a safe haven one day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The man that said that sat in here this morning. Ain't been here in years. When I walked by him, I shook his hand. He's not a member here. He attends sometimes. I shook his hand, and he pulled me back down closer. I tried to get away from him. He had my hand like this. I went to pull away. He pulled me in, and he said, hey, member, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, I just come back to see how it was going. You don't think somebody's watching to see how it's going? He said, preacher, what I need to do? Let me share this with you. Here needs to be your attitude. He's my shield, he's my sustainer, and he's my salvation. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Here's going to be our attitude. Hear me, O God. Our attitude should be, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, and have mercy upon me, and you heard my prayer. He said in chapter number 4, he said, Lord, I want you to hear me, oh God. That's my prayer here. That when somebody's in trouble, I'm in trouble, you're in trouble, whoever's in trouble, we can call on God and he'll hear us. I do not want to lay hands on and pray like we did Wednesday night and not nothing come out of it. I'm still looking, by the way. I'm looking, waiting, anticipating. Waiting for it. Hear me, oh God. Chapter 5, verse number 8. Let me show you this. Not only do I want him to hear me, but I want him to lead me. I don't want him just to hear me and me have my way. No. I don't pray to get my way. I pray to hear his way. Now, that might have blown some of y'all's mind. You pray to get your way. That's not a prayer. A prayer is, Lord, this is what I want, but not my will, but thy will. See, he takes the petition of that heart and he says, no, you need to go through this. Did you know that no is an answer? Even though it's not told in the world we live in, no is an answer. My daughter don't like being told no, but it is an answer. And can I say I'm not good at telling her no? But sometimes I have to say, no, baby. I never tell her no without explaining to her why I told her no. He said, I want you to hear me, O God. Chapter 5, verse number 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. He said, Lord, you got to make it straight because if you don't, I'll get off on either side. You got to make it straight. He said, I want you to hear me. I want you to lead me. And this, we're in a Baptist church, but I want you to get this. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. You don't have to walk around in doom and gloom now. My prayer for this church is, God, hear me, O Lord, and help y'all. Lead me that I may lead them, and bless me. Bless me. If he blesses me, I can be a blessing to you. Bless me. Bless my family. Bless my children. Bless me. You say, oh, preacher, you need to be, every one of us in here, we need to be struggling from end to end. Cars need to be tore up. No. No. He don't see us. The world don't need to see us walking around with our lip pooched out like everything's going sour. He said, I want you to hear. Listen, if you are blessed, thank God for it. Thank God for your health that you can still go and do. Thank God for your mind that it's still right. Thank God for your money that you got. Thank God for that. He's gave you your health to bless somebody. He gave you your money to bless somebody. He gave you everything, your mind to be sharp, to bless somebody, to help them. He said this. He said, I want you to bless me. Chapter 5, verse number 12, if you will. For thou, Lord, here he is. He's still talking to him. He said, for thou, Lord, will thou bless the righteous with favor? Will thou compass him as with a shield? He said, Lord, if you don't mind, will you hear me? If you don't mind, will you just hear me? Ain't nothing my daughter wants more than when she comes in the living room and I'm sitting in that leather recliner. That thing, how old was that thing? 20-year-old? 18? Brady said, you need to get rid of that thing. Well, my head's bald, it's done rubbed all the stuff off the back of it. We get a new couch. We've got a new love seat, but we ain't trade that recliner in. She said, baby, that thing, we got throws over it. That thing is wore out and ugly. I said, and? She said, baby, that thing don't even match what we got. I'm doing my best to match it, but it's faded so bad. I said, baby, it sleeps so good. There's been a lot of restless days in that thing. I pull her back, lay my head back, and just think about it. Think about the goodness of God. Think about how he's led me and heard me and how he's blessed me. You're in here tonight and you say, preacher, I hear you. But if you looked at what I got going on, you wouldn't think I was blessed. I don't want to know what you got going on, but I can look around this room and there's not a person here that's not blessed. You could be lost right now, headed to hell. You could be lost right now, headed to hell. So yeah, but I got family. Well, we ain't talking about that right now. He said, bless me. Lead me. Hear me. A lot of times we get off worried about other people and we forget about me. And then I get down in old valley, get down in old mire and old clay. And I forget my blessings and I forget what God's done in my life. I told Brother Charles this morning, here's what I told you, remember it. You tell your story, don't let dust get on it. I told Brother Tony, I said, okay, you tell your story, don't let dust get on it. So they get tired of hearing it. It ain't their story, keep telling it. See, it ain't when you tell your story, it ain't to help that next person. Now, they may get help from it, but it helps you. It reminds you of what God's done in your life. Tonight, as we're fixing to gather around this place, I just want you to remember one thing. Oh, Lord, hear me. Lead me and bless me that I may be a blessing to somebody else. I'm thankful that we do have a name in the community we live in. If you didn't know that, your head's in the mud. I'm thankful that we do. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we do have a name in the community we're in. And as I hear that name, I don't listen to the other names. I'm sure we got some of them too. Come on, amen. Hey, it don't matter. Hey, it don't matter. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But here's what I hear when we help folk. That's a loving church. That's a praying church. And that's a friendly church. And then I keep listening. And they say, and that's a godly church. He said, have you ever heard them people pray over there? I just listen. I'll be a conversation listener. I don't even love knowing the pastor. I just be listening. Don't you love it when it sounds like it? When they don't even know who you are and you're just standing there and they talking about it. Now, sometimes I may be like, well, wait a minute now. Hold up. And they say, have you ever heard them people pray over there? I said, They said, we call y'all's church Father God Church. I said, Father God Church? So yeah, everybody over at Pray says, Father God. Father God. Father God. Father God. Show him reverence. Here, he'll never be the man upstairs. He may be at your home, but he ain't here. He'll never be the man upstairs. He'll always be reverence as Father God. That's my prayer and that's your prayer. I pray that's your prayer tonight that we keep lifting him up. He said if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Amen. We're going to gather around this room tonight. We're going to lock hands. We're going to pray for one another. Ask God just to bless